your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome to Health Forum with Ruth Sackman. All comments, views, and opinions are solely those of the hosts, guests, and callers. In the next hour, Ruth and her guests guide you through the maze of health information and misinformation out there. So pull up a chair. Here's your host, Ruth Sackman.
Welcome to Health Forum. We're so glad you're with us again, and we hope this program is going to be very informative for you. It's host resistance, building host resistance, actually, and I think that's the ultimate in safety. But let me introduce you to my co-host, Consuelo Reyes.
Hi, welcome back. Nice to be here. As usual, the lines will be open for your calls in the second half hour of the show. That call-in number, which you see in the center of your Voice America screen, is 1-866-472-5792. I'll give it again as the show goes on.
All right. Let's talk about host resistance. For one thing, if you can accomplish that, and it isn't as difficult as it sounds, you're fortified against many things. Chronic degenerative diseases, possibly, when they talk about the swine flu or Asian flu or the bird flu, all of these things, that should provide you with some resistance. That's protection. So let's see how we can achieve something like that. The first thing we always have to consider is that the body functions on the fuel you give it. And, of course, that's your diet. And that diet needs to be balanced. That's your key word. What do we hear? One study says one thing one day, and 2 years later it negates it. For instance, the one on fat, you have no fat at all. But the reality is that the body needs some fatty acid. In other words, we're going to say that the body requires just about everything. It's the proportion. And it's the quality. Those are the two things you want to remember. But not to cut anything out of the diet. Except, of course, bad food. You can cut out fried food. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about really good food. All right. When we talk about balanced diet, it has to be based on acid foods, or what they call some things that produce acid ash. I don't want to go into deep details, so let's just call it acid and alkaline foods. It's easier to follow that way. And it's simple enough to know what those alkaline foods are. They're nearly all of your fruits and vegetables. In the cereal area, millet is alkaline. In the nut area, almonds are alkaline. That's about it. Then you have your acid foods made of the rest of the material, and that includes proteins, starches, your nuts, coconut. There's so many things, but you need a larger percentage of the alkaline foods for health. That's what the body requires, and less of the acid foods, but you do need 20%. That's a requirement. You can go above it, but not below the 20%. Now, there are other things we need, and some people want to take all the carbs out. Well, those are your starches. Your body requires a starch. I'd like to give you a formula of a doctor in California who ran a health ranch out there. That was Dr. Bernard Jensen. This was his formula, and certainly if he created it, you can depend upon it being correct. And that was that you have four or more vegetables, one starch, one protein in the diet. You see, I've added something that I think is useful and helpful, and that is to use a fermented food like yogurt or kefir or sauerkraut or good quality pickles. You know, not in a salt brine, though. They're made differently for the health movement. See, we don't want too much salt, but the body still requires sodium. There was a doctor who took every bit of sodium out of the diet, and it's a good thing it was temporary because the body would have needed that sodium. It needs glucose, which is your sugar, your sweets, and that's not necessarily sugar from your container on the table. You see, that's a refined product. Some of the nutrients that would be available with sugar are not there because it's refined. The original product would be sticky. That's the nature of sugar before they refine it. But when you take foods that are over-refined, nature has a tendency to want to reconstitute it. That is to make it again in the form that nature intended, so it will be what we call synergistic and then metabolized. See, it may take those things out of the storage in your own body in order to do that. It does it with many things. I think I spoke about this before, but I'm going to talk about it again, and probably you're going to hear it from me again, because we've printed this information in our magazine, which is Cancer Form, and I still find patients will say that they're on calcium tablets. And I have found patients on calcium tablets who have developed cataracts, evidently because the calcium that was not metabolized settled in that area, and you can't tell where it's going to settle. And we've had calls from people who have developed arthritis because possibly the calcium has settled at the joint ends. So you see, we want to be careful about taking calcium tablets. But we need calcium, and nature in its wisdom provides a lot of it. But you have to be careful about taking factory-made material unless you determine that it is properly produced with all of the synergistic factors, no coloring, no chemicals, no preservatives, and not only that, that your body needs it. If you take it and your body doesn't need it, you're putting a burden on that wonderful immune system that is your housekeeper to keep getting rid of it when it really has enough to do to get rid of the pollution that we absorb during any given day, the waste from any food we eat, and that's constant. So you see, this is the way, if you take care of your body properly. And again, I'd like to quote Bernard Jensen. He really was a genius. He said, your body is your temple. In other words, you want to make sure that the temple is kept clean and all of the things that belong to that temple are available to it. And when you accomplish that, you're going to accomplish what we call host resistance. And that is a powerful tool to maintain health. No one can get a guarantee that what they're doing is going to resist cancer or everything else, but you can hope and actually feel a little. I don't want to make a statement here that I can't back up in print, but you can feel that the body is going to respond and it's going to work for you as nature intended, and that nature never intended for us to be sick human beings, but to function properly and live out our life expectancy and die comfortably instead of a long death. Now, doesn't that sound appealing?
Especially in a day, today when we can so easily feel like victims with all these diseases, so-called, coming along. You know,
yes.
Bird flu and everything. This is a sense of control that you can truly do, and it's not an unpleasant thing to do at all.
No, and look how stress-producing it must be for people to be worried all the time,
yeah.
And to they have to take injections of one thing or another. That may or may not help, you see. And so just being relaxed about what you're doing, or not being fearful or under stress. And I want to remind me to talk about that stress factor. But when you're not under stress, your body works very comfortably, as it's supposed to. Now, the reason I wanted to mention stress, I think I'm going to have as our next speaker next Wednesday a lady who has written a book. Her name is Barbara Levine. Hopefully, I can contact her and she'll agree to be a party to the program. And the name of the book is Your Body Believes Every Word You Say. In other words, what she is saying, you can condition your body to believe that it's going to die and it will go into a phase of fear, which will accomplish exactly what you're afraid of. And these are things we have to learn about the mind-body link. It has taken a long time before the professionals have been willing to say there is a mind-body link. There was a debate for years about it, but I don't think that debate still exists unless it exists with a few backward people. And there's always some of those.
There's always some of those.
Yeah. All right. Now, you can understand about that mind-body link, and that is part of what needs to be controlled as well. If you're looking for host resistance, you cannot have a fear-ridden body, a body nervous about everything that comes along, medicating for every simple thing that the body can probably relieve itself without help. And that's where you get your strength, by the way. And now, we also have a whole list of things that we want to... There are positives, and we've given you pretty much the positive of having your diet correct, having every element there that the body requires to produce healthy cells. But there are some no-nos, and that you need to understand. We need protein in our diet, but unfortunately, what is happening to your meat supply if you don't get it organic is it's going to have primarily hormones. That's for early growth, because from a financial point of view, the ranchers know that if they can get that animal to market earlier, they have not had to invest in a lot of feed. And so it gets to be a financial process trying to get them to market earlier. For that, they very often use hormones. I'm not going to say every rancher does that, but many and most of them do. They also use antibiotics. I shouldn't confine this to the rancher because it also applies to the other animals like the hogs. Lamb, they say not to the great same degree with the lamb and chicken. You see, they may not give them all of these things, but usually they do try to protect them with antibiotics. And this is what...
And, excuse me, farm-raised fish, too, they're doing
oh,
that.
Oh, by all means. Let's talk about that a little more at length. Let's talk about the antibiotics. We're getting our signal that our quarter time is up, and they're going to have a few commercials. Just hang in there, and we will be back.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Suppose you've just received a diagnosis of cancer. You're overwhelmed with a vast amount of information about conventional as well as alternative treatments. Which way do you go? Read Ruth Sackman's book, Rethinking Cancer. It might help you to make just this kind of crucial decision. Written in clear, common sense language, Rethinking Cancer shifts the focus from tumor reduction to correcting the cause of abnormal cell production. Rethinking Cancer is not only must reading for those with a cancer diagnosis, but for anyone interested in improving and maintaining health. Rethinking Cancer is available for $16.95 at most bookstores, or call Square One Publishers, 877-900-2665. That's 877-900-2665.
The Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, FACT, a nonprofit educational organization established in 1971, is an information and referral service for people seeking non-toxic approaches to health and healing. It supports and encourages biological cancer research, nutritional science investigations, disseminates information about non-toxic treatment for cancer to cancer patients, and fights to eliminate carcinogenic substances from the environment. From book lists, case history sections, and information on stem cells to cancer form, FACT's quarterly magazine. FACT is designed to serve the patient as a clearinghouse to cut through the overwhelming mass of information and misinformation on alternative cancer therapies in order to help individuals make the wisest medical choices possible. For more information on the Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, visit FACT-LTD.org or call 212-741-2790. Cancer information and support is just a click away. FACT-LTD.org. Tune in to Health Crusades with John Farley every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Health Crusades seeks to enhance one's lifestyle, physical, mental, emotional, financial, and intellectual empowerment. Your host, John Farley, the author of Living Lean and the creator of the revolutionary Sleep Slim Weight Management System, brings expert guests to inform and entertain you each week. A live healing circle is also provided for those facing life-challenging health issues. That's Health Crusades with John Farley every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Voice America Health and Wellness.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
We're back, and I hope you're with us. Consuelo brought up something just at the end of that segment, and it was about farm-raised, she said. We're talking about farm-raised fish, which is going on to a great degree. I wish I had the whole list of what is being farm-raised, but the one that seems to be appearing more than anything else is salmon. And certainly the price of farm-raised salmon has become is less expensive than wild salmon, but you've got to know what you're eating. They start these as little fish in a farm. It's not really a tank. It's a sort of waterway, mm-hmm. and it moves from one segment to another as though you had a series of docks, as they do in Lake Erie, you know, where you move from one phase
locks,
to another.
Like a
yeah.
river.
And what happens is these are fed pellets that are made up of certain things that they feel that's the fish food, and that's what they get. It's not out in the wild getting what is natural. Well, this is what has happened to those fish. They reach the end of the line, fully grown, and they don't have that pink color. It's somewhat grayish, so they've learned to put red dye in there in order to color it. It never gets as bright red or bright, I don't know if the color is really that red for the wild salmon, but it's certainly a lot brighter than even the dye makes those farm-fed fish. It would be wise to avoid that. Now, we can't deny, too, that the fish that you get in the wild is surviving in waters that are not always pure. They are polluted, unfortunately. We as human beings, we're polluting the planet. And as large as the oceans are, we're polluting the oceans as well. That's a shame, isn't it? All right. But some of those fish may pick up mercury. We'd not like to tell you to negate the use of fish entirely, but what I would suggest if you use fish, that if it's a fatty type of fish, understand that the pollutants settle in the fat. And that applies to human beings, too. The pollutants that we absorb usually settles in the fat. And so if you're taking fish that has fat, cut the fat away and try to use only the solid meat so that you can be safe. Now, Consuelo also reminded me during the break that we ought to outline what the body needs in general from all sources, and that is good food, pure water, and you want to avoid fluoride because of the fluoridation. Fluoride, or fluorine as they call it, is a toxic substance. It's a waste product from some of the industries. And one way we feel their way of getting rid of this waste product is to spread it around the world in the waterways and then tell you that it's good for your teeth or it will cut down tooth decay. And it may, but we doubt it, because what it is doing is causing mottled teeth. And that's just as bad as teeth with cavities. Mm-hmm. You see, they have to be corrected, and it's just as expensive to correct it. And there's beginning to be some information coming through, not on as large a scale as we like, that sometimes the children, their first teeth come in mottled. So they're getting it as an inheritance from their parents, possibly. We need to be somewhat careful about what's going on in this world of pollution, because it's going to catch up with the world, I believe, and it may affect us in the long run so that the life expectancy may go down. So you want to be careful of the pollutants in the water supply and try to get pure water. You're not going to be able to control your air supply, but we can assume that nature has a built-in mechanism, the wonders of the body, or as they say, the wisdom of the body. That mechanism does the house cleaning, and certainly it can get rid of a lot of material. But you can also overwhelm it by taking more. The intake can be more than the body can possibly eliminate, and then it goes into storage as accumulation. So you want good quality air and water, and your food. All right?
And, of course, the other aspects like exercise and
that's always
sleep, adequate sleep, which is an area which I know I've been guilty of skipping upon.
Yes, yep. At one time. All right. And that, too, is one of nature's requirements. We're assuming you don't have to especially go out and do exercise. If you're an active person, you're getting exercise. But if you do go out to do exercise, don't overdo. That's your yardstick in everything you do. Don't overdo, don't underdo. If someone tells you that a certain element is good for you, don't suddenly feel that if you're going to take 30 milligrams of it, it's better than taking 100 in a natural product. It's not true. The body can only metabolize a certain amount. So don't overdo and don't deprive. Those are your yardstick, and that fits into that balance concept.
That is so true. You know, for instance, there's something called hyper yoga, you know, where they
heat,
put heat yoga. Yeah, yoga is such a wonderful thing. It's so important for normalizing the body and breathing, but it seems we have a tendency in the society to overdo, and now they're taking yoga where there's 100 and something temperature?
I don't know what the degree is, but it's enough to make them sweat and to be hot. They don't need to add that to yoga. It's violating an old concept that has been working for years. But frankly, I'll tell you what I think, is that some of these people very often may not be happening in this instance, but what is going on in this movement, there are people adding gimmicks in order to get attention for what they're doing, as one group superior to all the rest. I think if you stay with the old-fashioned concepts of eating good food the way nature designed it, planted without a lot of pesticides. And I think we've mentioned to you that these pesticides mimic estrogen, and that can create all sorts of problems. I can't begin to outline all of them. It affects the endocrine system, which includes your thyroid gland, and that thyroid gland is responsible for a lot of work. People find themselves without energy. There's calcium loss because the thyroid isn't metabolizing all the calcium that is required by the body. But certainly we want to be extremely careful in that area of overdoing. Now, many of you may be familiar with Linus Pauling's work, in which he entered the alternative area with a presentation of what he thought was right, and that is that he felt, and wrote a book about it, by the way, that a person with cancer ought to take 30 grams of vitamin C per day. Well, the body could never handle 30 grams of vitamin C. It can't metabolize it. Well, then what was he using it for? To reduce tumor size? Well, if you focus on tumor size only, you're going to do harm. What you want to do is to focus on biorepair. You want to correct whatever is causing abnormal cells to develop, to be corrected by being on a good quality program that's producing healthy cells. Or let me put it another way, that has stopped producing abnormal cells. If you focus on the tumor, you can cut out that tumor, you can take a breast off and discard it, take a kidney and discard it, you see, a lung and discard it, and you feel the cancer is gone. Well, it's gone in that place, but that doesn't mean the condition that produced that problem originally has been corrected. The focus needs to be on biorepair. You must try to get the body back to normal function, producing only normal cells, and if we produce, and many of us do in the course of a day, produce abnormal cells. If we're under a great deal of stress, if we haven't eaten properly, or not eaten enough, or not had all the elements we're supposed to, well, you might be producing some abnormal cells that day. But nature, again, in its wisdom, has an immune system that cleans house on a daily basis so that it sloughs them off. And many of us who have never been diagnosed as cancer patients may be producing some cancer cells in the course of a day. But as I say, nature, with a healthy immune system, is going to do what it's supposed to do, and it should slough them off. So we want to understand all of these things, and I think this is what I'm getting at, is not to say, be fearful, be afraid of that, make sure you do this, be rigid about something. What we're trying to say is understand what you're doing, understand what the hazards are out there, try to avoid them, you know, like caveat emptor, consumer beware.
A lot of it is just good common sense, isn't it?
That's all it is. Yes, it is common sense. One may make a compromise that they need to for a healthy diet. That doesn't mean that one can't eat out with friends or enjoy a party with people. That much, if you're doing most of the work competently, or let's say healthfully, then the body in its wisdom can tolerate a little bit of the violation. Consuelo,
I think I should
give you something here.
I should give you the phone number to call in if we have a minute here. It's 1-866-472-5792. 1-866-472-5792.
All right, we're coming to the segment where you can call in if you like.
Helping you make informed decisions for your life. This is Voice America Health and Wellness.
Suppose you've just received a diagnosis of cancer. You're overwhelmed with a vast amount of information about conventional as well as alternative treatments. Which way do you go? Read Ruth Sackman's book, Rethinking Cancer. It might help you to make just this kind of crucial decision. Written in clear, common sense language, Rethinking Cancer shifts the focus from tumor reduction to correcting the cause of abnormal cell production. Rethinking Cancer is not only must reading for those with a cancer diagnosis, but for anyone interested in improving and maintaining health. Rethinking Cancer is available for $16.95 at most bookstores, or call Square One Publishers, 877-900-2665. That's 877-900-2665.
The Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, FACT, a nonprofit educational organization established in 1971, is an information and referral service for people seeking non-toxic approaches to health and healing. It supports and encourages biological cancer research, nutritional science investigations, disseminates information about non-toxic treatment for cancer to cancer patients, and fights to eliminate carcinogenic substances from the environment. From book lists, case history sections, and information on stem cells to cancer form, FACT's quarterly magazine. FACT is designed to serve the patient as a clearinghouse to cut through the overwhelming mass of information and misinformation on alternative cancer therapies in order to help individuals make the wisest medical choices possible. For more information on the Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, visit FACT-LTD.org or call 212-741-2790. Cancer information and support is just a click away. FACT-LTD.org. Tune in on Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Healing the Grieving Heart, the program that takes you on a journey through grief after the death of a child. Join Dr. Gloria Horsley, marriage and family therapist and bereaved parent, while she interviews and discusses with other bereaved parents and siblings how they have coped with the death of a child and gone on to create and realize new dreams. So tune in Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Healing the Grieving Heart with Dr. Gloria Horsley, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
All right, we're back again. And you can call in during this segment if you want to and ask any question you want to.
Because actually any question relates to host resistance.
It all does. And so if you think it's a far field, don't hesitate calling anyway. We'll see what we can do with it. Mm-hmm. Now, Consuelo had a nice idea, something she wants to
oh, I was just gonna
talk
mention,
about during the intermission.
I've been rereading Dr. Henry Beeler's wonderful book, Food is Your Best Medicine, which is really a classic. And it's really an ode to this wonderful body we have, this survival machine. And you were talking before the break about how people have cancer cells occasionally, but a healthy immune system takes care of it. He calls it, he says, we all have a do-it-yourself repair shop.
Oh, I think that's a wonderful way to state it. Any way that it's understood is wonderful, because I don't think we've been conditioned to trust the wisdom of the body or the ability of the body to heal. I think the atmosphere in medicine and health has always been be on guard. There are dangers out there. Right. You can die if you're not careful. Make sure you wash your hands. There's one doctor who wrote an article in one of the publications that I read, and he said, if you're too careful, if you're too clean, if you're too sterile, you have no resistance. Uh-huh. It's like building up the power of a muscle. You know, even that has to be built up to have resistance. And unfortunately, what we do with this idea of sterility, you know, is not recognize that the body can build up and do most of the work itself. I like to use as an example the fact that if you break a bone, the doctor can set that bone and put it in place if he's doing his work well, by the way. Mm-hmm. Most of them do. But the healing then takes place afterwards, And that's all done by the wisdom of the body. The same thing applies, let's say, if you go in for surgery and you're cut, or if you have any cut in the skin. It isn't the doctor or medicine that heals that. It's the body's ability to take care of it that closes up the wound, knits the flesh together. And so we have to learn to change our direction and give credit to that system. I can say this, I would encourage most people, I don't want to be responsible for people who are careless and can't understand, but that if something comes up, that one should at least try to give the body a day or so to see if it will get it under control, if the normal process of healing will take hold. If not, the medical community is out there, and we're grateful that they are, to take care of the problem. It isn't as though you're going to put yourself at risk, but the more you let your body do the work, the stronger that mechanism becomes. Otherwise, there's a possibility it goes into a state of sleep. It becomes somewhat dormant because it isn't used and it isn't needed.
Who is the doctor who said that most diseases, conditions, are self-limiting? From Rockefeller University, I believe, he stated that something like 94% of conditions would take care of themselves, wasn't it?
Oh, you're talking about the man who was the head of Rockefeller Institute,
right,
and spoke before a group of doctors.
Yes.
And what he said is 90% of those patients coming into your office would get well without your help.
Yes.
And about 10% need your help. Well, let me tell you what the outcome of that was, because the story doesn't end there. President Nixon, who was actually using as his primary doctor an osteopath, which is somewhat different. They have all the privileges of any doctor, but they have an additional skill, which is manipulation, and they're into more natural thinking. And so Nixon was using that man as a doctor. Actually, I think he got the referral from Rockefeller, who was using that doctor too. What did I want to say about that?
I think he recommended this doctor who had...
He recommended him as Surgeon General.
Yeah.
And the medical community was so aroused and made such a fuss that his name was withdrawn.
Yes.
But that's the kind of guy I like.
That's
someone
right.
Someone who thinks that way. All right. There was something else I had a notion to talk about, but I...
There's so much on this subject. I was remembering that you have said we live in an imperfect world, and we can't, to try to be perfect is really not a very good thing.
That would create stress, and
right,
stress would produce its own health problems.
Which would be a worse situation than the bad food or whatever.
Yes, we don't want to include stress in there. That has to be alleviated. Even if you use techniques, if some things in your family life or in, doesn't have to be family life, but in your life, whether it's job or family or whatever, causes stress that cannot be controlled because it's out of your control, there are techniques you can use so that you can help the body so that it will not impact on your health. There are little tricks like yoga,
right?
You see?
Meditation.
Which is part of the meditation. There are other things one can do, and this is what one should do when they feel that stress. Now, one doctor we invited to speak to our audience one year came in, and this is what he said, and I've always remembered it, and I hope you will too. He said, if you do... meditation in the morning, it will carry you for 12 hours. If you do meditation at the end of the day, it will carry you for the other 12 hours. In that way, that meditation can protect it protect the impact of stress on the body. You see, in other words, the body will work as smoothly as any good engine will work. And that's what, this is a mechanism in a way. It's a very complicated machine. It can do some wonderful things for us. But it is like a machine and should be treated that way, very carefully. Some people take better care of their cars than they do of their body.
But stress can really bollocks the whole thing up.
And this is why we'd like to have Barbara Levine come in for the next meeting. If not, we'll still have a topic that I think you'll find useful. That's what we want, is for the topics to be useful to you so that you can be your own authority and do as much as you want to take care of yourself. You need to acquire that knowledge. When you're knowledgeable, it's like being a qualified medical consumer or health consumer, if you want to phrase it that way. We go into a store to buy a pair of shoes. We want to know the quality, the leather, the style, or whatever it is, and we make our choices based on knowledge. Well, we have to be a knowledgeable medical consumer. And my feeling is that that partnership is not only good for the patient, but it is also good for the doctor. He does not always have to feel that he has to practice defensive medicine and for his fees to go up if he does something wrong or he's called into court because something's wrong. If you partner with him, which means you're making suggestions and you're assuming the responsibility under those circumstances. And very often you're going to find that that partnership and your input gives more guidance to the doctor to do better work for you, which certainly, after all the training he's had and all the costs and time he's put in, he'd like every step that he takes with a patient to be successful. Everyone wants the gratification of doing their work well. And this is what we'd like to see happen here. And we try through our magazine, Cancer Forum. And Cancer Forum does not have to be limited to lay people alone. It is useful for anyone. In other words, whatever can help the cancer patient either to prevent cancer or to control cancer from a recurrence is also going to help anyone with any health problem. I hope that's understood. Go ahead.
I think I like the useful example you've given. You know, speaking of health resistance, host resistance, 10 people in an elevator and one person starts coughing and sneezing and is obviously has some kind of a cold. And the next week, 5 people come down with the cold and 5 don't. And they tend to study the sick people. No one really wants to ask the question, why didn't 5 people get sick? The others thought they all caught it from this person.
See, that's
so what's the difference? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we need, is to be in the same condition as the 5 that didn't get it.
Right, that's host resistance.
They have host resistance so that you can go everywhere. I think it's pitiful to see some people who are so obsessed that they won't touch a door handle.
Or breathe on anyone.
Well, but a door handle, we hear about that. They won't touch a door handle. They're afraid to touch coins that someone else. It is that extreme for some people. You know, that's a pitiful way to live. But evidently, during some time in their life, there's our cue. And that means we have to relinquish the time.
One more segment.
To whatever they want to put on at the station. And as soon as that's over, we'll be back and continue the discussion.
Your life, your health, your network. This is Voice America Health and Wellness.
Suppose you've just received a diagnosis of cancer. You're overwhelmed with a vast amount of information about conventional as well as alternative treatments. Which way do you go? Read Ruth Sackman's book, Rethinking Cancer. It might help you to make just this kind of crucial decision. Written in clear, common sense language, Rethinking Cancer shifts the focus from tumor reduction to correcting the cause of abnormal cell production. Rethinking Cancer is not only must reading for those with a cancer diagnosis, but for anyone interested in improving and maintaining health. Rethinking Cancer is available for $16.95 at most bookstores, or call Square One Publishers, 877-900-2665. That's 877-900-2665.
The Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, FACT, a nonprofit educational organization established in 1971, is an information and referral service for people seeking non-toxic approaches to health and healing. It supports and encourages biological cancer research, nutritional science investigations, disseminates information about non-toxic treatment for cancer to cancer patients, and fights to eliminate carcinogenic substances from the environment. From book lists, case history sections, and information on stem cells to cancer form, FACT's quarterly magazine. FACT is designed to serve the patient as a clearinghouse to cut through the overwhelming mass of information and misinformation on alternative cancer therapies in order to help individuals make the wisest medical choices possible. For more information on the Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, visit FACT-LTD.org or call 212-741-2790. Cancer information and support is just a click away. FACT-LTD.org. Tune in on Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Healing the Grieving Heart, the program that takes you on a journey through grief after the death of a child. Join Dr. Gloria Horsley, marriage and family therapist and bereaved parent, while she interviews and discusses with other bereaved parents and siblings how they have coped with the death of a child and gone on to create and realize new dreams. So tune in Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Healing the Grieving Heart with Dr. Gloria Horsley, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
All right, we're back again. We'll continue this, what I think should be an interesting and important subject. But Consuelo is going to give you some information that might be useful.
Oh, we just wanted to remind listeners that if you can't hear the show in the middle of the day like this, it is archived on the Voice America website. So you can go anytime that's convenient for you. Look up Health Forum.
Well, I think that information is for the listeners, but they may want to pass that on to their friends.
That's right. Of course, pass it on to your friends. And they can just go to the health.voiceamerica website and look for Health Forum in the search box and Health Forum with Ruth Sackman, and then click on the show you'd like to hear.
Yes, and we've already done, this will be our sixth show. And so there's, we've covered a lot of interesting topics, haven't we? Toxicity?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'd like to talk about some of the items that are out there that we're, we don't favor.
Mm-hmm.
And which has widespread attention, by the way. And actually, I find it listed with people who are in the health movement, and I don't think they understand the item well enough, and they're listening to the hype from the producers. Or let's talk about canola oil.
Yes.
Okay? Now, most oil comes from a natural seed. In other words, olive oil comes from olives. Peanut oil comes from peanuts, safflower oil comes from safflower seeds, and so on. There are no canola seeds. The seed that is used for the canola oil is rapeseed. Rapeseed is a poisonous seed. It was, that oil was used only for industrial purposes. But of course, we've come into an age where they genetically engineer material or food. Sometimes the term that's used is genetic modification. Mm-hmm. So either one. And then they abbreviate that to GE or GM.
Sometimes you see GMO, genetically modified organisms.
Well, I haven't heard it that way, but that's fine if that's there. So it will be understood what we're talking about. When they genetically engineer some material. Well, they have genetically engineered the rape seed so that it is not as toxic as it was originally. The toxic material is erucic acid. Now, they've cut it down, but you need to know that it's not complete. There's still some of the toxic material left in there. And we've gotten letters and articles from people who feel that it has caused complications after taking something like that for 2 years. So you don't get the results quickly, you know, if you're taking it today or tomorrow or next month. It may not have an effect, and you can say to yourself, well, this is fine, but it's a 2-year buildup before these negative things appeared. And so I would suggest that instead of looking upon the canola oil as a boon to the health industry, and I'm so surprised to see that so many people who are writing health articles that appear in some of the really hot publications, when they say to use oil, they suggest you use canola oil as though that's a boon to the health industry. It is not. And I hope those of you who hear it will take it into account for yourself and notify anyone you can about that, that it's not. There's another thing we don't like the way. It's canola oil, mm-hmm. calcium, and soy.
The big three.
The big three. Soybeans are fine if you use soy, as you would lima beans, or kidney beans, or black beans. In other words, you're using them occasionally. But when you get to the point where they're selling soy as a boon to the health industry because it has some spectacular product, you're going into something that can cause the very thing you fear the most. Now, this is the problem with soy. It's an enzyme inhibitor. If your food is not, if you don't have enzymes in the food or in your body to take care of the food that's being eaten, it is not going to be metabolized. That means it's not going to be broken down into micro components to produce cells. And this is what will happen if you reduce your enzyme intake or destroy the enzymes that are there, because it's an enzyme inhibitor. The last thing we want to do is to use an enzyme inhibitor. As a matter of fact, I would suggest that the wise thing to do is to take an enzyme tablet to make sure that your food is broken down properly to produce healthy cells. And there are enzymes out there. There are enzyme tablets, let's say. And
it's called a digestive enzyme.
Yes, and if you're going to take a digestive enzyme, you don't want coloring added. You don't want enteric coating, because the body may not break down that enteric coating. You don't want a sloppy kind of pill. You want something that's going to take care of metabolizing your glucose, your carbohydrates, your protein, your starches. You see, that's what it does. It metabolizes those things, which means it's being digested competently, broken down the way it's supposed to be, and then it serves at the cellular level, whether it serves at the cell to produce cells or to repair cells or to just simply nourish the cells. Cells that, you know, let's talk a little bit about obesity, which is in the headlines these days, and I hope I can cover this little topic. If you're eating food are not going into the cells so that the cells feel nourished, they will always make you feel hungry because there is a need for something that they're not getting, and therefore there's a tendency to eat. And sometimes what you eat still is not serving at the cell level, or it's not being metabolized to serve at the cell level. And this is the kind of thing that can cause obesity. So yes, it's caused because you're overeating. It's obvious you're overeating, but you're overeating because there's a nagging for something. Not necessarily the same food you've been eating. You may need some raw food that has the variety of elements in it that nature intended. You know, when you cook the food, you change it from what nature intended. That doesn't mean cooked food is bad for you. But if you don't eat raw food, you're not getting all of those elements, and you really need at least 50% of your diet raw, which means salads and fruit for breakfast, which isn't hard to do. You know, come summer, you're going to have the peaches and the melons, which are delicious. Winter, you've got apples and oranges and grapefruit and grapes and things of that kind. There's always something around that can be used so that we can maintain that kind of diet. And frankly, I think some of these things are more delicious. They satisfy even the taste for food than French fries.
Oh, yes. Once you
hamburger
get used to that flavor of fresh foods, you don't need a lot of seasoning often.
No, the flavor
is already
there.
The flavor by itself is wonderful.
You see, and no one should mind taking a salad with their dinner and with their lunch or whatever, or having lettuce and tomatoes or radishes or cucumbers. There's so much value there, do you see? And this is what the body requires. But I think giving up the French fries, and you don't even have to. I don't eat them because I was never happy about fried food in that way.
Yeah.
But if one takes that occasionally or part of a small part of the diet, it's not going to hurt as long as the other things are in place. When that kind of material takes over and you're getting nearly all of that and too little of the good material, you're going to find yourself not in the healthiest condition. Well, we're coming to the close of this time with you. We hope we'll see you again next Wednesday. And we, as I said before, will try to take up stress with Barbara Levine. And she's a great gal and will be most interesting. But that's not a promise. But we will promise to have a good topic if we can't get Barbara Levine.
See you next week.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to Health Forum. To contact Ruth about the show, visit fact-ltd.org or call 212-741-2790. That's 212-741-2790. Tune in next Wednesday for another hour of Health Forum with Ruth Sackman.